Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. Welcome back. In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Zambia-born, Australia-based artist Sampa the Great, who'll be performing at tonight's show in the Brick Celebrate Brooklyn Festival, a summer-long series of free concerts at the Prospect Park Bandshell. Now, we've been partnering with Brick in Brooklyn this summer for a series of conversations and performances with their featured artists. Last Friday, we had on Gabby Moreno. In a few moments, we'll have Sampa. And then there'll be more artists come later on in the summer, so stay tuned. But before we get to the music, we thought we'd talk to Brick in Brooklyn president a little bit about the organization and the programming it does. Christina Newman Scott, former director of culture for the state of Connecticut. This is about an anniversary for you. You came aboard
almost
last July.
Yeah, we're I'm approaching 11 months.
This is exciting. So one of the great things about the programming, I mean, obviously, is that especially the summer stuff, is that it's free.
Yeah.
Why is that integral to the mission?
Well, I think, you know, Brick Celebrate Brooklyn Festival came at a time in the mid-1970s where, you know, it was then in the borough president's office, right? And they really wanted to use arts as a way to bring people together and to see the beauty of Brooklyn at a time where people might not have thought of Prospect Park as the safest place. So that being kind of a core part of our DNA, connection, using arts as a vehicle for change and bringing joy, it's kind of embedded in what we do every day across visual and performing and media arts. And we raise like over $3 million for this festival to present it free to the public. So for 41 years now, it's been free.
When you think about the programming for this kind of thing, I mean, we had Gabby Moreno on last week. You have folk and bluegrass music.
Yep.
We're about to have poet rap in a little bit. What goes into those programming decisions?
Well, we have a fantastic team, right? So Jack Walsh, who heads our performing arts work, along with Rachel Chanoff and her team, have really invested in making sure that the diversity of our programming is truly reflective of the beauty and the diversity of New York City. So you know what that's like. You go outside, you can eat anywhere, like from anywhere in the world, right in New York. You can hear it, see it, feel it, taste it, wear it. And so in many ways that we ensure that the programming is going to bring all types of people, no matter what their socioeconomic standing, no matter where they're from, but again, together around arts and just really pay attention to that joy that we think is so necessary at this time.
One of the things you said to me when you sat down, I'm not telling tales out of school, is
tell
that
the tales, Allison.
Is that you said Brick in Brooklyn, because people get confused.
Well,
can you explain what people get confused about and set that straight?
So I think that, you know, because we are the public access provider for the borough, right? So free speech, and people know us from back in the day as BCAT. But Brick is really just a standalone name, right, that describes a place that we like to call Brooklyn's cultural living room. Brick represents welcoming, making sure that people have access to the arts in across visual, performing, and media in a way that we don't think is always out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't think the arts are just for a chosen few. We think that everyone should have access to them. So Brick has become that place. And for me personally, just as the new president, it's like that foundation. You know, you build your house one brick at a time, and Brick has done that over 40 years, that one methodical step at a time, building up off are the success of the artists that we work with and the people that we serve. And so I just like that it conjures stability and foundation. And I think that that's what people have come to trust in our programs.
I'm interested, as you coming from Connecticut,
yeah,
coming to Brooklyn, sometimes
yeah,
when you live a place,
yeah,
live in a place,
mm-hmm,
you take things for granted,
totally,
like about where you live, that yeah, it's cool or interesting. Coming in, what has been really inspiring to you about Brooklyn? What has been really interesting to you about Brooklyn that you didn't necessarily expect?
Well, I mean, listen, let's be real. Going from what I thought was urban in Hartford, Connecticut, to Brooklyn was clear. I was like, okay.
That was cute.
That was real cute. Like, I had a skunk and a rabbit. That's totally not going to happen where I live now. But what I've loved is just how welcoming Brooklyn feels and has been, and also being a Yadi. Like, I'm originally from Jamaica, and, you know, I just see so many of my people here, and I just love that. My kids, you know, I have a 2-year-old and a 9-year-old, and my 2-year-old is living her best life, so she's going to be a New Yorker. And my 9-year-old is, like, so overwhelmed by all of the things she can walk out of her front door and jump into. So I've loved that. You walk out your front door, and you can go into so many different places and have so many different experiences within a few blocks. That wasn't possible, really. Where we were, I mean, there was a lot of amazingness. Mm-hmm. But you got to go in your car, you got to drive. It's like an investment, you know what I mean? You got to curate it. Whereas in Brooklyn, Brooklyn is constantly curating itself.
My guest is Christina Newman Scott. She is the president of Brick in Brooklyn. So I understand there's an education wing to Brook.
To Brick, excuse me.
What is offered? Explain that part of the
program. We have an amazing community media center, and we also do education programming in around 40 public schools across the borough, and we really target schools that do not have access to arts programming. So we work with teaching artists, and what we do that's really unique is that we create curriculums that are responsive to what the students and the teacher and the principal needs versus here's what we're going to give you. It's prepackaged, it's done. We really spend time listening and learning about the needs. And then on the community media side, we're bringing in our busiest periods, up to 1,000 people a week to learn how to do editing, filmmaking, podcasting, sound, all of the things that come with media to our Brick House location on Fulton Street. So we're really rooted in education across our three disciplines. And we'll take our mobile media lab, and we have a partnership with the Brooklyn Public Library. We'll go to the libraries in Coney Island, you know, in New Lots, all over to make sure people have access to media education.
When you came in and you looked around and said, this is all really great, I think I see a need. What did you see as a need?
For Brick or for the community?
Each, both.
Well, I think there continues to be a need for artists to have space and time and investment in their process, which we take pretty seriously, that it doesn't necessarily always need to lead to the thing, like you don't need to see the performance or see the exhibition, but giving artists that time and space and investment that they need to unpack whatever they want to unpack. There's a huge need there, and my goal is, as we take Brick into the future, is making sure that we're building out a Brick that can do that even more than we currently are. And I think as an institution, we're doing a really fantastic strategic plan right now that's looking at 40 years of amazing work and charting a path for our future with shared wisdom and understanding in a way that I think will truly amplify all that we've done, so that when you hear Brick, and so many people know us and love us, but when you hear Brick again, right, you will really understand how all of the things that we do across visual, performing, and media connect and make sense together.
Like the way when you hear the Public Theater.
Totally.
You know right
away,
right?
Right away. And I think what's beautiful, the beauty and challenge of Brick, is that people, we have a huge fan base in performing, huge in media, huge in visual arts. And sometimes they intersect, right, and collide. And other times they just know this one area that they love so much and know less. So our goal is to really bring that holistic curatorial thread through all of it in a way that...
All of it.
Yeah, all of it. All of it. So that they get it. But one thing I do know everyone knows about Brick is that they feel at home when they walk through our doors.
What is a program that is currently in, I don't want to say in use, that Brick is currently offering that you wish were better known?
Oh my God, I just want all of it to be better known, Allison. All of it. We have amazing artists in residence right now in our artist studios. Mm-hmm. So we turn into the summer, we turn our some of our spaces into artist studios. We have a fantastic exhibition up in the gallery, thinking about play. We have scripted series that are being produced that are Emmy Award winning and getting into Sundance and Tribeca. We have obviously our performing arts program that's happening out at the Bandshell, but we have an amazing jazz festival coming up in October with some leading jazz voices in Brooklyn and beyond. And all of the, I just want, it's fantastic, it's layered, and you know, I want people to know about all of it. Call me. I'll take the call. I'll do one-on-ones every day. I'll tell everybody.
That is the president of Brick saying that. Her name is Christina Newman Scott. Do you mind if I ask a couple of questions about you coming to this job?
I would love that.
It's so you picked up your family and you came from Connecticut to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So what was it about the job that would make you bring your whole family?
Well,
that's a big thing.
Listen, when I graduated from art college in Jamaica as a painter, right? And so I really, when I moved to the United States in 2005, I found my curatorial voice as a curator working at an art center. And I worked in Jamaica, not only in art, but radio and television. And so this job, 8 years after working in arts and government, right, because I kind of segued from curatorial into arts and government, brings me back to everything that I deeply care about within the arts, which is visual performing and media. How many times does the world offer you an opportunity to be like, hey, here's a gift. Why don't you come back? Do your nonprofit roots, to all the things that you love. I couldn't say no to that. And so my husband saw that and he was like, let me just nod and pack these boxes because we are leaving.
What are the biggest differences between working in a government role in the arts and then working in this nonprofit space?
I think that the invisible walls or visible walls within government roles prevent a lot of partnerships and collaborations that seem to be so like just the common sense in many ways. It's a little bit harder because, you know, there's agendas in government and they come from every angle, every place. And you have to be very sensitive about agendas. And also, you know, when you're in a government role, even in leadership, I wasn't an elected official. And I have to make sure that the work I did there was very representative of the agenda that was set forth by who I was working for. Whereas in this world, it's our agenda. And I work, I have 110 full-time staff that are amazing. And they get to be their best creative selves every day. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm feeding. And the beauty of just being like, it's okay if we fail. But we can't sit here and just be cozy about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to like test it, try it, pivot. And that gives me energy in a way that I'm super excited about.
That's been my mantra lately. In everything that was written about you, and I'm curious what you think about, they always note that you're from Jamaica, that you're the first immigrant and first person of color to lead BRIC in its 40-year history. It's in every single article. Is that significant and important, do you think?
Yes.
Do you get tired of that being in the...
No.
Okay.
Because, you know, here's the thing. We haven't come as far as we should be way farther along. What I want is for it to not be that. I get exhausted by it because it reminds me of how far we must go. But you know, when I'm talking to my friends or colleagues and young people of color especially, I want them to know that. I want them to know that it's important. And so my job in this role is to ensure that I'm also creating space and pathways for people to come into positions of leadership that might not look like those who currently exist, especially in the cultural sector. If we can't diversify leadership in the arts and cultural sector, where in God's name are we going to do it? We've got to do it here. If we can't do it here, we don't have hope in many other sectors.
Well, that was my next question, and you just answered it about that. So my guest has been Christina Newman-Scott, president of BRIC. It's been great to have you here.
Oh,
thanks
so
much.
Great to be with you, Allison.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.